Welcome to the Fantasy 40 Podcast.
Go, go.
Fantasy 40 Podcast.
Welcome to the Fantasy 40 Podcast. We are back. Myself, Andrew Burke, and Matt Walker. We'll have John DeBari with us tomorrow for our week. What is it? Five preview? Me and Walker are going to nail out these hits and misses. I'm kind of just going to be hanging along as Walk goes through the list because you know the dedication you got, sir. It's something else.
Yeah, I mean, through week four, this is like a third of the fantasy regular season is already done. You know, it's like this hurry up and get here, and then it flies by mentality that you kind of know where you're at, whether it's redraft or dynasty at this point in time. Are you a contender? Or are you rebuilding? Are you selling parts? So pivotal point in the season. These next couple of weeks are really going to determine some fantasy outcomes, especially with bye weeks coming up. So yeah, let's dive into the week four hits and misses. This was just a Burke and Walk two-man weave last week, so unfortunately we don't have any hits or misses from John, but as stated here, he should be on the episode tomorrow to give us some gems. But we'll dive right into yours, and I have to say, my man, rather good week from you, all things being considered, as I re-listened to the episode. Far more hits than misses, and even the misses weren't egregious misses. You stayed very much more in your lane this past week than going with these Kerryon Johnson home run cuts right out of the gate. There was much more analysis and substance behind some of these calls. So first and foremost, you continued your DJ Moore slander and just said, I'm still staying away from DJ Moore. And he throws up a 4-for-49 in another Carolina Panthers victory. So victory, defeat, whatever the situation may be, it's still not being contributed to by DJ Moore. And if it's Christian McCaffrey or no Christian McCaffrey, it's still not being contributed to by DJ Moore. Robbie Anderson is the receiver to own in Carolina at present. I still love me some DJ Moore, but you have been spot on thus far. He has no touchdowns this year. He still is seeing volume. He's still not been an absolute dud, but he has not given you that potential wide receiver 1 week even thus far. So kudos to you for staying the course on DJ Moore. In that same game, you gave a shout out to Ian Thomas.
Yeah.
While it was not a stellar show, Ian Thomas did catch 2 balls for 5 yards and a touchdown. So maybe a sign of life for Mr. Thomas finally getting into the end zone in week four. Those same Carolina Panthers do face the Atlanta Falcons, which, spoiler alert, were just eviscerated Robert Tonkowski on Monday Night Football. So maybe a sign of things to come for Ian Thomas, but you were pretty spot on. As far as those Panthers were concerned, we both were on the Joe Mixon absolutely has to happen this week train. And I don't think either one of us would have thought that Joe Mixon would have just balled out RB1 for the week, 151 on the ground and 2 touchdowns, 6 receptions for 30 through the air, just destroyed the Duval Panthers all by himself. That is the bell cow work I have been screaming for Joe Mixon, literally for the better part of his entire Bengals career. I do not want to see Giovanni Bernard and his terrible mustache step foot between the hash marks. Give Mixon all that he can handle. He's a bell cow. It was nice to see. Anything on Mixon?
Yeah, I mean, I actually re-listened yesterday, too. And when that little spiel came up, I mean, it has to happen. And it did. You know, that felt good. And the only cause of concern, obviously, we'll get into it on the next episode, is the schedule that you kind of relayed to me when I started going off. So it's something to keep your eye on. But like I said, we'll go on to it. But mad props. I'm giving you some dap there, Walk. That was some good teamwork there.
Yeah, I think my quote was, if this isn't a Joe Mixon week, I don't know what is. So it's, but I also, there was a miss in there for me as well, which we'll touch upon later, but I do love me some Mixon. So that was nice to see. You went with your homerism of sorts, but it panned out in with the Dallas Cowboys and said, I really, really like CeeDee Lamb this week. Well, 5 for 79 and 2. CeeDee Lamb, it's fucking amazing. I mean, the dude, alpha dog, just impressive, just super impressive. Now, these Cowboys game scripts, and this isn't shot taken at all, are just what they want.
59 throws or something like that.
But stats are stats. Yeah, right. And CeeDee Lamb, yeah, through 4 weeks as a rookie has been uber impressive, you know, as advertised, and would have been one hell of a DFS start for anyone that listened to your I really, really like CeeDee. Sticking with the rookies, we were talking about Justin Jefferson, and you said you added him off the waiver wire, you get him right in that flex spot. 4 for 103. Didn't get you that touchdown, but still, they were run heavy, and he still found his way into 14.3 PPR points.
You have to be excited about this guy moving forward, man.
He's passed Thielen as far as dynasty value for Vikings wide receivers pretty easily. You know, 1 month into his NFL career, and he's already superseded the 1A on his team. I'm interested to see what he does. Long term, I still have my concerns about Justin Jefferson, but we'll save that for another time. The last 2 weeks just look good. Done it on the outside. Super explosive. Sticking in that same game, said we're in store for a huge Dalvin Cook game. I think I laid out the stats. He was playing against those listless Texans, which we didn't even discuss the Bill O'Brien firing, which in my opinion has been about 2.5 years overdue. We'll save that probably for the Week 5 preview, but we both said Dalvin Cook is in for a huge day. Well, Dalvin Cook just lays 130 and 2 on the ground on these Texans rather easily. And then you dropped a little nugget on the tail end saying Madison might even sneak a TD in there. Well, 7 for 17 and a touchdown for Alexander Madison. Cherry on top right there for that Vikings backfield. Same game. You said Will Fuller weak. Seems to be week on, week off for Will Fuller. Well, 8 for 108 and a touchdown.
There we go.
I expected more out of my boy Deshaun Watson in that game. Still not a terrible line, but I think I said 304. I mean, he threw for 302 in the game. Should have been better. He deserves better. I'm very excited to see what he does without Bill O'Brien just being a tyrant for that whole Texas organization. But we'll save that for another time. You deep sleeper, your boy Isaiah Ford. He did not produce 4 for 48, but he saw 10 targets.
Yes, they were going to the well, just not performing. That's all it is.
But just again, I think what I said is if only he had the ability, don't take shots at Isaiah Ford, but usually targets translate. But I'm impressed to see that the man did see 10 targets in that game where I truly expected more out of that Miami Dolphins passing attack that it didn't seem to come together till late. Keeping the train going, Mark Andrews has to have a get right game, and he will, you said. 3 for 57 and 2 touchdowns. They just looked like they used the Washington football team as an extended practice session, you know, to work a couple things out. They look good. Took their foot off the pedal a little bit, a little earlier than I would expect. Lamar took his foot off the pedal a little earlier on that touchdown run and almost paid for it by showboating. But nonetheless, Mark Andrews got those 2 touchdowns you wanted to see from him. Same game. You expect Terry McLaurin to, quote, get his 10 catches for 118 yards. Imagine what this dude could do with anyone but Dwayne Haskins at quarterback.
I'd say top 7 wide receiver right now, especially with, you know, some guys going down or they're in and out every week. You know, I really like McLaurin, but not for the Redskins. You know,
yeah, I mean? Well, they're not the Redskins. They're the football team.
That's like the Chargers, the San Diego Chargers.
Yeah, it's hard to get it out of your brain. And listen, I wasn't there on McLaurin early, you know, with the no breakout, and you know he was a senior and he was older, and I was wrong, totally wrong. Didn't hate the guy. I wasn't where John was. I don't know exactly where you were early on McLaurin. I wasn't there. I was dead wrong. McLaurin's special.
I'm not going to say I was like John. I kind of sat in the middle and watched you guys duke it out whenever his name would come up because you and John definitely had some battles. So.
Yeah, what I will tell you is I will be right about Van Jefferson, though. He is what I thought Terry McLaurin was going to be. So Van Jefferson's actually going to be. But we'll save that for another time. Indy Chicago game. You said, I don't see any offensive explosions happening in this one. Well, that game sucked. 19-11. There was no offense in that game whatsoever. Allen Robinson cobbled something together, but no one did anything in that game. Luckily, Mo Alie-Cox caught a touchdown because I'm pretty sure he ran three routes all game. Trey Burton came back, ran more. Doyle, it's unfortunate. Mo Alie-Cox deserves better in just pecking order, just slotting him right back down. That game was atrocious. You nailed that one on the head.
Hey, let me jump in here for the Allen Robinson stuff because I'm not going to take full credit because he ended up with a nice stat line, but it all literally happened on the last drive. His touchdown, and I think he had, I think I saw eight targets that last drive and, you know, really saved his ass there. If not, you're looking, I think it was, he was at like 4 for 37 before that last drive. So it was, you got,
I think the whole
there.
Offense was had 37 yards before that last drive. So, you know, they had 28 yards rushing on the day as a team. I mean, that's just embarrassing. You know, they did, you know, Foles got up to 249 passing, 1-1 at the end. But like you said, it was all late garbage time. Indy controlled the clock, controlled the game. It was boring. They did nothing on offense. Jonathan Taylor did not run all over them. He's not getting the workload that he should get in this offense. The passing game is just so limited with the Colts. It was just an ugly game. You just nailed that one right on the head. You said, I'm staying away from those Giants altogether. And while that was not a reach, you were – fucking spot on. They're just terrible. And while that was a trappy-ish game with that big line and the Giants covered, I mean, it's just, yeah, there's just nothing there right now with that team. Yeah, I mean, you see Evan Engram get 10 targets, somehow gets 6 for 35. I mean, that's a running back line.
That's right horrible, there. Man.
I mean, you know, Darius Slayton 3 for 48 on his 7 targets. I mean, it's just bad right now in New York. And granted, they had a tough schedule. And it's going to get better for him, but still, there's just offenses you just don't want a part of, and this is one of them.
It's going to get better for him because they're playing that amazing Cowboys defense this week, and we'll talk about that tomorrow.
Exactly, but like there was no fantasy value we had in that Giants, you know, on the Giants side of it. There was damn near no fantasy value we had in that entire game, to be honest with you, but Giants were a stay away. You did call the touch split in that Rams backfield with Malcolm Brown coming back, and you were spot on. And then last, you tight end graveyard, Gerald Everett.
Hey,
what he do? He runs touchdown run. Just, I mean, of course he does, right? Those Monday night games, I caveated them because they were weird. We'll talk about them at the very end, but I don't think the hits for Mrs. Road qualify. This is way before we got the double Monday night game with Cam getting COVID and that getting moved. And then there was just so much with Davante Adams being ruled out where we both thought that he was going to play. Alan Lazard getting core muscle surgery.
Yep.
The whole concept of that game changed. Julio playing and re-injuring himself.
It's ugly.
We'll talk about it at the end, but they were your hits. A couple of the misses. You and I both thought that it would have been a Kenyon Drake game for those Arizona Cardinals because it was long overdue, right? And it was supposed to be a Kenyon Drake game. I just wrote, is that really a thing anymore? We're a month into the year, and there hasn't been a quote-unquote Kenyon Drake game. Kyler Murray scoring all the rushing touchdowns. It gives me kind of like a pseudo Buffalo Billsy type vibe where maybe you just don't want the running back because of the quarterback in the offense. You should have been able to run on the Carolina Panthers. Kenyon Drake got 13 carries, 35 yards, didn't do anything. Didn't even see a target in the passing game. I mean, this dude has been terrible as far as where you drafted him, you know, or even just that you thought you had a dynasty GM in what he did late in the season. Maybe he's just a blip on the radar.
I think he's a great back in short moments, like three game spans, right? He'll give you a three, then he'll give you six, then he'll give you two, and then he'll give you one. You know, he's got that ability where he's explosive, but durability, not too sure. Right now, as it stands here on a Tuesday morning, he has a chest injury and nothing's came out. Hopefully later on in the week, we'll find more. But if you have Chase Edmonds, I'm just going to throw it out there. Hallelujah. Cause this guy is a fantasy point machine when he gets touches. So
yeah, I already saw that Kenyon Drake was working out in the team facilities this morning. So that chest injury was like, he had the wind knocked out of him. He was piece literally totally fine. So on Fort, I'm not going to begrudge anyone with injuries, but it's not going to be the Chase Edmonds. Like, Kenyon Drake's not playing. 67 rushes for 254 yards so far in the season, 3.8 yards per clip, one touchdown, five targets, five receptions, 20 yards in the passing game. Just over one reception per game for Kenyon Drake in this offense. I just don't get it. I wasn't crazy about Kenyon Drake. I think I was even kind of more in the fade Kenyon Drake at his ADP pre-draft, but I still didn't expect this. Yeah, I don't know. Dude, you can't trade him. He's untradeable at this point in time because his value is just plummeted. But if he does not happen, you know, and like you said, we're going to record tomorrow. If he can't get it right against the Jets, then he might be like a sit him and miss a good game until he gets it right, because they can't keep riding him and not giving Edmonds a little more opportunity when he's not producing. And this offense has looked a little scattershot these last couple weeks. They're not winning games that I think they expected to win, and that I think the public expected them to win. I mean, back-to-back losses against the Lions and the Panthers.
Yeah.
They were favored in both those games, and while both those teams showed up and beat them, you know, they surprised the 49ers early on, who just lost to the Eagles and are super banged up. Maybe the 49ers aren't as good as the Super Bowl. Then they beat the Washington football team, which isn't a good team. And then they just lost to two mid-tier teams. Maybe the Cardinals aren't good, to be honest with you. They maybe crowned them a little too early. Now they're going to the Jets for a 1 o'clock game that they should win. Then they get a plus matchup against the Cowboys, and then they get a plus matchup against the Seahawks. At least in passing games are concerned.
Yeah, that's
still benefit Drake.
That's the game where, not to look too far ahead, but I really think if, when they play the Seahawks, that's when we'll get an identity of the Cardinals and where they're at with their growth and their potential moving forward this year.
Yeah. All right. I felt like I needed to sound Drake for a minute there because that was a
dumb. Oh, yeah.
You called a big game from Zeke. And while I'm sure you did not see what the train coming down the tracks, it was those Cleveland Browns against your Dallas Cowboys. I was concerned. I've been expressing concern about Zeke and his running game. And you're goddamn lucky that he got eight receptions for 71 receiving, because 12 for 54, abandoning the run again as they go into catch-up mode early on.
Right.
This isn't the Zeke that anyone signed up for in fantasy. And he's been bailing people out with these come from behind, dump down garbage. It's literally, and I'm not insulting Zeke, this is literally looking like Leonard Fournette, Jacksonville Jaguars of last year, where he gets like six catches in the second half that are totally meaningless. They're like 8 yard dump offs, like while they're playing prevent defenses against them. And at the end of the day, Zeke has 20 to 25 PPR points. You're like, what just happened? He had a terrible game. And he somehow ekes it out in fantasy.
And I'm not going to sit here and try to pound the table for the Cowboys. I know what's going on, being realistic. But when you look at it and how poorly they've been in the running game this year thus far, I get it. I get, you know, your analysis of the catches and stuff. But, you know, where you drafted him at, you're still not in panic mode because the guy's getting you garbage time, a la Allen Robinson in 2015 with Bortles. You know, you just got to take what you can get, and hopefully, you know, it can only go up, because honestly, with as bad as it's played, this is a pretty nice floor to be on, you know?
No, don't disagree. I mean, he's turned 70 attempts and only 273 yards, sub 4 yards per attempt. Finally did have a 20-yard carry, which the Cowboys were the last team in the NFL to have a 20-yard rush on the season, which I found to be humorous, all things being considered, but yeah, that's neither here nor there. 30 targets, 23 receptions on the year from Zeke. I mean, that's – I don't think anyone would have said that's where he's going to be sitting through four games in this season. I mean, he's looking at about – that's roughly six catches per game. I mean, we're talking, you know, Austin Eckler territory for Zeke. So I don't believe that is how they drew this up. Last miss for you. Again, heavy on the hits, light on the misses. You called for a big game from Rob Gronkowski. One catch for 29 yards. Big, big per catch average. We'll tell you, before going down, O.J. Howard, 3 for 50 and a touchdown, and Cameron Brate, 1 for 3 and a touchdown. So those two guys, 4 for 53 and two touchdowns. there was some tight end points to be had in that matchup. So you might have just been a week early, because now that it's confirmed O.J. Howard tore his Achilles and he's out of there, they're going to have to expand Gronk's role. He's knocked the rust off. He's a month in. I'm actually interested to see what comes of Rob Gronkowski for the remainder of this year. It actually might be go buy Cameron Brate time if they keep Gronk as that blocky guy. Brate could literally be a tight end one for the rest of this year if he steps right into that O.J. Howard role. But those were your misses, buddy. Strong, strong week for you on the hits or misses. What do you have to say for yourself?
I think I did all right. I'm going to sneak that Cooper Kupp in one in as well. He did get some burn in the middle and got in the end zone. But Robert Woods still did get his. I think that was one that we kind of overlooked. I want to throw that in there because I said that it was going to be a he's going to be getting shadowed, Mr. Woods, and Kupp would get his. But it was pretty equal except for Kupp got the touchdown. So other than that, lots of injuries again in this nice week for it, man. Not to laugh at injuries, but, you know, we lost Eckler for a little bit. And, you know, something like that's going to affect it, especially with the rookie being back there. So lots of stuff to look forward to in this preview. And I'm, you know.
Yeah, yeah, Eckler and Chubb, big backs going down early in games. That really hurt. Chubb hurt me in a couple of spots. I have a lot of Nick Chubb, and yeah, I touched on those Rams that there was just no offense we had. I know you did call for Kupp and Woods to do something, but save for that Kupp touchdown, there was just no offense in that game whatsoever. Let's dive into mine. A few hits. I said that Robbie Anderson has entered must start territory in that
pandemic. That a boy.
8 for 99. You'll take that in a PPR all day. Talked about it earlier, but I said, if this isn't a Joe Mixon week, I don't know what is. But I did talk out of both sides of my mouth, and we'll reference that one a little bit in my misses. We talked about Zeke. I said he better be seeing those 12 targets that he did a week ago. Wow. He got 8 targets, turned them into 8 for 71. I just seeing that game script just be – I just see it repeating itself over and over again because, sorry, the Cowboys defense is – it's not a defense whatsoever. I mean, it's just wide open. I mean,
yeah, Dak's definitely breaking the franchise record for yards this year, for sure.
100%. He might break it by midseason. In that same game, I told you it was going to be an Odell Beckham game.
Thank God you did, man. I was loving that.
I just called for 101. Boy, was I wrong. He almost did that on the ground.
Yes.
73-1 on the ground with another 5 for 81 and 2 receiving. I don't know. I just saw what the Seattle wide receivers did to your secondary a week prior. I knew that Dallas was going to be able to score on Cleveland. I didn't see the game going the way it was because Cleveland was able to run the ball, and I thought they would have to throw it even more than they did. I think I said Baker was going to throw it 35 or 40 times. He only threw it 30. Granted, there was a nice deep bomb from Jarvis Landry mixed in there that took away from that a little bit. But neither here nor there. Called Odell Beckham. It was Odell Beckham. I mean, that dude just exploded out of the gate. So, unfortunately, you didn't get the Dallas win that I did say I thought you were still going to get out of that. I said Odell Beckham was going to hit, but you were going to get your Dallas win. Well, you got hit.
Yeah. Hey, that could be you got to really take your victory lap on that. That could be the wide receiver performance of the fantasy season, honestly. So, we'll see how that shapes up later down the road. But that was a good one.
It's going to be tough to top 150. 4 all-purpose and 3 touchdowns. Yeah.
Yeah, that's, for sure.
What's going to be up there? Although, didn't Calvin Ridley put a 3 touchdown game out there already this year?
He did. Yeah. He did.
Okay. Might have had more receptions, so it's going to be close. I also said this could be a huge Kareem Hunt game. It was Kareem Hunt game, 11 for 71 and 2, but full disclosure, not the way I intended it to be. Clearly wasn't predicting a Chubb injury. I thought Hunt would do it through the air. Hunt had 1 target, no catches in the game. So he got it through the ground largely after Chubb had left the game. But still, you're going to take 71 and 2 touchdowns from a running back. So still a hit.
Unfortunately, carries with the, was that Florida guy?
Ernest Johnson.
Jeez, he looked nice too. So something.
Yeah, listen, they run based concepts. They want to run the ball. So it's not going to be Kareem Hunt's backfield just because Chubb is on the shelf on the short-term IR. They're going to use Darius Johnson. Hilliard will be active. I'm pretty sure John Kelly's on their practice squad. He might even get a call up. Who knows? John Kelly season might ride again. Probably not. But one I am particularly proud of is I said that Latavius Murray is a sneaky flex play. These Detroit Lions are terrible against the run. All Latavius Murray did was put 14 for 64 and two touchdowns on the ground with another 19-yard reception on the ledger for the week. That rates up there with me calling the two-touchdown game from Leonard Fournette. I mean, just looking at it, when you know that they want to run everything and have to run everything through Alvin Kamara to say his backup is a flex play for the week. Yep. Well, that was a that one. As I see him score the first one, I'm like, okay, I feel pretty good about that. When I saw the second one go through, I was like, shit, okay, let's ride. Talked about Dalvin Cook. I said, obviously, Texans run defense sucks. Fire up Dalvin Cook. It was a layup, but nonetheless, I called for 50 and a touchdown from Jordan Akins in that game. He was at 3 for 46, got knocked out early with a concussion. Jordan Akins was going to eat in that game. I'm taking a win on that one. He might have went for 100 and a touchdown in that game if he didn't get knocked out. In the Tampa game, I said arrow on the side of Scotty Miller over Justin Watson. Yeah, Tom Brady loves him some little Scotty Miller. 5 for 83 and a touchdown while Justin Watson just put 4 for 40 out there. I literally nailed the Lamar Jackson stat line. I said, remember what he did against the Houston Texans a few weeks ago? He's going to do that again. Just go and look. It's eerily similar to what he did.
I remember this one vividly because you're like, obviously he's not running for 250. So we were kind of bullshitting on that. But you said he's only going to throw the ball 20 to 25 times. And if I remember looking at the box score, 21 passes. So it's more than spot on. You knew exactly what was happening. So mad props.
I said two touchdowns. I said he's going to rush for about 50 yards. Probably get a rushing touchdown. I mean, it was eerie. Just the way it's set up. And he just, again, they just take the foot off the pedal. They start running it at the end of the game. It's Ravens up by two touchdowns, you know, stock football. We were talking in that same game, and I think I went on a brief little tangent saying Gus Edwards is greater than Mark Ingram at this point in their career. Mark Ingram gets a touchdown, but still, if I'm just watching down by down football, Gus Edwards is the better back for this team. And while this has nothing to really do with hits or misses, I just said, this Ravens backfield is either an injury away or a year away from being pretty awesome because it's just muddy this year. And Ingram's definitely gone next year. I don't know what Gus Edwards' status is next year. But if we can even just get down to a Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins backfield next year, they're both going to be weekly startable from fantasy. It's the third banana that is literally killing this situation right now because they both can go for 80 and a touchdown every single week in this offense easily. So just frustrated that we're still dealing with Mark Ingram kind of muddying things up as a veteran. And then last, I said that Brandon Ayuk was flexible on an ad. That rushing touchdown was ridiculous. He did not get touched on that hurdle. It was insane watching it. Luckily, my Eagles pulled out the win at the end of the game because watching that run and just the way that Kyle Shanahan schemes things is absolutely insane. Now, Ayuk didn't do much receiving, and that's because George Kittle was literally catching every single pass in that game. But still, you'll take that 38-yard rushing touchdown, another 2 for 18 receiving from Brandon Ayuk. So those were some of my notable hits. My misses were when I talk about Joe Mixon, I talk about talking out both sides of my mouth. I did say James Robinson was going to outscore him. So while I did say it was a Joe Mixon week, I also said James Robinson was going to outscore him. And James Robinson didn't have a bad game. He racked up the yards, just didn't get in the end zone. Still love James Robinson. I'm still here for James Robinson. The game script just got away from him. So I'll take the L there. I thought both backs were going to be good. I just probably was a little unreasonably high on James Robinson.
Well, the thing here is, I mean, it's so hard when we do these and then the previews because I want to just jump in so deep. But just a quick analysis on James Robinson. Don't get me wrong. I like him too. Like the story. It's like an Alfred Rout or what is it?
Alfred Morris?
Yeah, type deal, you know. And not that he doesn't have the talent, but, you know, when these guys start getting a little healthier, I'd be a little weary, especially with, you know, performances like these. They're not bad, but they're not great. So, you know, it's start to give the other guys some burn once they get a little bit more healthy.
Yeah, he's not going to eat this entire backfield, but I mean, still 4.4 per carry, and he was good in the passing game. Caught all four of his passes for another 32 yards. So he put over 100 all-purpose out there again, just didn't get in the end zone. He was a they were in comeback mode a week ago on Thursday Night Football, and he was just much better as a pass catcher and being productive. But I'm with you. Once Ozigbo comes off of that IR, and who even knows what's going on with Rykel Armstead right now, but they'll siphon some away. So definitely cause for concern a little bit, but hopefully they stick with the rookie. I said Rich Fitzpatrick was not only a streamer, but he could be the guy in a shootout against Seattle, and he didn't hold up his end of the bargain. He ended up with 315, no passing touchdowns, two picks, found a way to get 47 rushing and a rushing touchdown on the ground. But I just wrote, I expected better. I thought two touchdown minimum passing from him in a shootout. This was not a shootout. This came around the points late in the game, but this was a miss, and Miami missed big time. I also missed on a Seattle backfield, but I said I wanted to start her. Carlos Hyde got dinged up, didn't play. Chris Carson did play and scored two rushing touchdowns. So I was still right on concept of whoever the starter was the guy I wanted in there, but it was still a miss because I didn't see them playing Carson off of the injury. And I don't know what happened to Hyde that he ended up being inactive. So just a miss.
Weird. It was weird. So obviously local game up here in the Northwest, and it comes out, shows Carson when they get the ball. I'm like, what the hell is going on? And I'm glad I didn't throw Hyde into any of my lineups. Obviously, I probably would have checked the news right before game time, but very surprising to see Carson out there. So, you know, it was a shocker. And, you know, he did not impress me. So it was definitely a little funky there.
Yeah, missed on that one. I went back to the well one time too many on Darrell Henderson. And I said, if he gets 15 touches, he'll be a top 15 back again. Well, I don't believe he got the 15 touches. If I'm not mistaken, he only got 8 carries for 22 yards. He got one catch for 16 yards. So he did not. So didn't qualify as a miss. But you called the split backfield, and you were right. Malcolm Brown out-touched him with 9 carries. They got away from him. He didn't come out of the gate hot, and they defaulted back to Malcolm Brown after two massive games where Darrell Henderson literally carried this offense. I disagree with the shift, but it was a miss, and I started him in a few spots, and that one hurt. And then the last one, I did go out on a limb and said Van Jefferson was going to get a TD. It's also because I thought that they were going to boat race the Giants and we'd get a little garbage time. Well, Van Jefferson had a one target, zero catch game on the ledger. So the random TD went to Gerald Everett. What can I say? It was meant for Van Jefferson. It went to your graveyard guy, Gerald Everett. That was my miss. How'd you feel about my hits and misses?
You know, I thought they were all valid and good. When we recorded, I didn't see too much I was going to argue with. So I'm excited for this week. Maybe we'll have a little more confrontation, especially when we get our boy John back, because I know usually it's 2-on-1, whatever way that would be. It'll be a good deal there. I will say, though, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, when the mix and stuff came up, I thought you started off with, no, it's not going to happen. And then you talked yourself into mixing as you were going on. I could be wrong.
It sounds about right, because I talked out of both sides of my mouth. I mean, I will never fail Joe Mixon. I might wane, but I'm here for Joe Mixon. But I clearly said James Robinson outscores him. So I had concerns for Joe Mixon. But like I said, you called it a Joe Mixon game, and I literally said, if not now, when? For Mixon. So this was the week. So anyone that had Mixon was clearly starting him. You cannot bench Joe Mixon, especially with the rash of running back injuries and the uncertainty. This is a dude who was seeing 20 touches a game. So I don't think anyone sat Joe Mixon, even if I was waxing and waning a little bit. But yeah, it's just you know, the come from behind nature involving Geo and all. I was becoming frustrated with Mixon. So it's probably what you heard, and rightfully so. But I love the usage. I am very interested to see what that usage looks like against the Baltimore Ravens that we will talk about on tomorrow's show, where they're going to be coming from behind, and I think they're going to be coming from behind pretty quick. And are they still going to commit to having him on the field, give him his carries? Is he going to be the pass catching back on the field, or is it going to be Geo? It's going to be a good case study after the usage that they gave him in a big Joe Burrow first NFL win the week prior.
Yeah, congrats to that guy too. Well, before we shut stuff down, let's go to Thursday night.
Well, hurry up real quick before we go to Thursday night. Let's just run through the Monday nights real quick, like we said at the beginning of this. And we talked about the KC New England game, but we did it before Cam was ruled out. So I think ruled a lot of what we said irrelevant. But I did just want to say that it is impressive what Bill Belichick can do to that Kansas City Chiefs offense. They were talking on the broadcast about Patrick Mahomes has had three games in his NFL career where he has not passed for a touchdown in the first half of the game. All three of those games versus the New England Patriots. The way he can scheme, he was a three-man rush, just dropping everyone back into zone, crossers, changing over, like really making them earn it. And it took the Chiefs getting super creative with all that behind the line of scrimmage stuff, using their speed to get into the end zone on the Patriots. And then obviously having Hoyer and Stidham just throwing crippling interceptions and costing their team the game. You know, that was a tough one. I did call a N'Keal Harry touchdown. And he did score. I did say 80 in a touch. Didn't get the 80, but he did get your touchdown. And then the Green Bay Atlanta game, which went off as scheduled on Monday Night Football, but without Devontae Adams and Allen Lazard, which we both thought both of those guys were playing. I mean, we didn't even know about Lazard's core muscle injury. And no, Devontae Adams himself said, I can play, but the medical staff is keeping me out. Well, Green Bay has a bye in week 5, so it makes total sense. They're looking at Atlanta thinking, we can beat you with a bunch of running backs and tight ends, which they did. Let's just give Devontae Adams 2 more full weeks to recover, because in that same game, you saw Atlanta in desperation mode put Julio Jones back out there, probably too soon. He re-aggravates his injury and leaves at halftime. So now he's probably out for another 2 to 3 weeks. I can even see a short-term IR stint coming for Julio Jones, to be honest with you. The one thing that struck me as odd is Calvin Ridley putting up a goose egg on 5 targets in that game where they were behind the entire time. This team is broken. And Dan Quinn should literally be the next head coach to be fired.
I think so. It's went on long enough. Never recovered from the Super Bowl mishap of giving up that lead. And just hasn't really looked the same ever since. You know, Ryan usually gets his, but you could see the frustration in his arm on that last one. You know, he read to Ridley late coming over the middle. Everyone thought Ridley dropped it. You can clearly see the DB just rips it out of his hands because of the late throw and the frustration from Matt Ryan. So it's something to also monitor. A lot of these guys that we think are shoe-in mid-tier QBs that are older, you really start got to pay attention to these guys, because I'm not saying they have noodle arms, but you know, it's just not there like it used to be. And if anybody's played any kind of sports competitively, not just football, you know, over time you can't do what your body used to do, and mentally you think you can, but sometimes your body's just not there. So it's definitely something to monitor with Ryan moving forward, because we're used to him flying under the radar, top, you know, 12 QB every week, and just doesn't look to be the case right now.
Yeah, he short-armed one earlier in the game where they're like, I guess that one got tipped at the line of scrimmage, and then they replayed it, and he had a clear throwing window, and he just short-hopped it like 5 yards short of the guy on the throw, and it was just like, eek. Yeah, all the time is undefeated at the end of the day, and that offense is just at a total standstill right now. You know, like when Todd Gurley is the only thing you got going for you.
Man. He's gaining some steam, and we'll preview that tomorrow. He's looking good. You know, the first guy.
He's only got. Yeah. Literally. I mean, they're going to – there's a one-year, $5 million deal. They are going to give Todd Gurley the ball.
He's definitely making the first guy miss, which is what you want to do as a running back, and picking up those extra yards, so that looks good.
Correct.
So let's go to that Thursday night game for this week, which is Tom Brady's Buccaneers against, I don't know if I'm going to say Foles. I'm just going to call it Allen Robinson's Bears at this point. Somebody who's producing, but do you think this is a rebound game for Mr. Foles?
I don't. Right now, the game is in Chicago. Bears are 5.5-point dogs, 44 projected team total. We don't have any O.J. Howard anymore. Tours Achilles confirmed, he's out for the year. Chris Godwin still is not practicing. It's a short week. Arians all but said he will be out. Leonard Fournette also did not practice yesterday, but there is potential for him to play, but he is still going to be limited at best. So it's going to be a condensed tree again for these Tampa Bay Buccaneers against the Chicago Bears. As far as Chicago's concerned, like you said, it's pretty much Allen Robinson or bust. You're not going to be trusted. I don't want to trust David Montgomery. The Buccaneers are one of the top run-stuffing defenses in this league. They are going to make Nick Foles and that passing offense beat them. So it's going to be Pepper Allen Robinson, because it's clear Chicago Bears hate Anthony Miller. They want Darnell Mooney to be the number two there. I love Darnell Mooney, so I'm here for it. But I think Anthony Miller deserves better at the end of the day. But the only person you can trust in the entire Bears offense is Allen Robinson. That's literally where it begins and ends in this game. Sneakily, Keyshawn Vaughn got a little burn with Leonard Fournette being out. Three targets, 22 yards, and a touchdown receiving in the same game, where our boy Ronald Jones found a way to turn 9 targets into 6 catches for 17 yards. I don't even need to make up how bad Ronald Jones is anymore. He just puts stats in the box score every week. He is not a pass catcher. Can't be a pass catcher. Never will be a pass catcher. Shouldn't be a pass catcher. Put a decent rushing total out there, because he got all of the carries in that Tampa Bay backfield and grinded it out. What was it? 20 for 111? That's fine.
11.
That's fine. Yeah. They got to stop throwing passes to him. And I think it's going to happen. This miss by our boy Leonard Fournette might have been just a little crack that Keyshawn Vaughn needed after being on that COVID list and missing some of this offseason and being, you know, kind of wedged behind these two early on, because you can't just keep being Ronald Jones of 18 targets, 12 catches, 57 yards, not even 5 yards per catch. It's just a liability in the pass game that is missing now O.J. Howard and Chris Godwin. I'm calling for a sneaky Keyshawn Vaughn game. Keyshawn Vaughn is going to catch another touchdown on Thursday Night Football. The Bears are going to lose this game. It's going to be a Tampa Bay cover. Allen Robinson's the only player you want to start on Chicago. Tampa Bay, it's clearly everything through Mike Evans, because they're just going to force feed him. Maybe a sneaky Scotty Miller game. We talked about your boy Gronk without O.J. Howard being there. Is it finally going to be a Gronk spike game? It damn well should be on Thursday Night Football, but I'm scared to call anything for Gronk anymore. And I do think, like I said, Keyshawn Vaughn will catch another touchdown in this game.
I like it. I like it. Thursday nights are always funky, so I like the Vaughn play there. You never know who's going to get it. It could be two, Walk. It could be two. I'm going to kind of piggyback off that because I like it so much. Expect your Scotty Miller, like you said last week. I don't think really much is going to change in this Patriots offense this Buccaneers offense. Just because James White was back last night, I was ecstatic. Got lots of looks. But anyways, that could be their guys, Vaughn coming out of the backfield, and now they feel a little more comfortable, saw what he got to do. Not a ton of work, but yeah, I love that one, Walk. You know, there's not much to go over here. Unless you want to, I mean, Tom Brady did throw 5 touchdowns last week. I know, I mean, if you have him and redraft, he wasn't going very high up the list unless you had a Tom Brady fanatic. So definitely a nice play for Superflex. And I'm going to say this is a rebound for Foles, and it would be a nice little start in a Superflex setting as well if you do that in your redraft, just because of that run-stuffing defense you alluded to earlier, Walk.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to run the ball. That's for damn sure. Like, if you can get away from David Montgomery, you get away from David Montgomery in this game, and they're going to force them to throw it. Now, can they do it early, or is it going to be him stacking garbage points late? That's the thing. That low team total is little concerning me. 44 points overall with the 5.5. So what are we saying? Yeah, 322. So we're saying 19 points for those Chicago Bears. So we're saying 2 touchdowns are coming from them. Yeah, full scares me a little bit, but I get you. If they're moving the ball, it's going to be through the air. So maybe my boy Mooney shows up on Thursday Night Football. He's getting burned. His targets have increased. I really like Darnell Mooney. I'm pretty high on Darnell Mooney.
I mean, I don't want to just keep throwing names out there, but now that you know, we've kind of just said, all right, see you, Anthony Miller. Don't give up hope yet. It is only going to be week 5. You know?
Listen, Nagy hates him. It's the die has been cast for Anthony Miller. He doesn't even get targets till the second half. I'm pretty sure that's written into the game script of whoever the starter is. It's ignore read X, whatever Miller is on that play, until the second half, because he's been a bad boy or for whatever, or somehow his shoulder's going to pop out or something. And then when it's crunch time, we'll force feed him a little bit. And then everyone will be like, oh, wow, this Anthony Miller kid's pretty good. And then next week he doesn't get a target again in the first half. Like, something's going on in Chicago that no one knows about with Nagy and Anthony Miller, because it's been his entire career, whether it's injuries, not picking a playbook, you know, whatever rumblings have been, is he just can't consistently put it together. and I don't know why. And I think ultimately he'll end up elsewhere, and maybe he'll shine, maybe he won't, maybe some things will get exposed, but it's clear they're trying to move on to Darnell Mooney, in my opinion.
We do know what's going on. It's Nagy and the GM. They should be the next ones out the door. He had a nice first year, and it's almost like Chip Kelly-esque, you know, had some defenses fooled in his first year in the league, and now it's just not panning out, and not the right guy for the Bears for sure.
That's what happens when you hitch your wagon to Mitchell Trubisky.
Right, exactly. Okay, well, there it was, hits and misses. I feel pretty good overall, Walk. I think we had another good week here at the 40. One of these weeks, we're all going to go perfect, which is almost impossible to do, but we're pretty damn close. What do you think?
Listen, it's been strong. And I was highly impressed with our efficiency of last week. There wasn't anything egregious that I wanted to point out from last week where it's like, what were we thinking here? I mean, there was the week prior, there was a few where I was like, all right, we went a little too far into left field on these calls. Well, these were more honest assessments that were accurate last week. So it wasn't just true guts. We went guts like the week prior, and there's a few of them where I was like, all right, well, these are things we wanted to happen. That we really thought were going to happen. So I think we did a better job, and the outcome and the consistency was better as well. So that's what we're going to put on tape tomorrow for week five as well.
Perfect. So remember, on the Sunday mornings when you're waking up setting your lineups, if you're following at the Fantasy 40, we are waiting patiently for your questions, and we will give you the best advice as we can. So make sure you ask those questions. I'm pretty sure the tweet goes out 7 in the morning, gets retweeted about 10 times, so it should be on your feed. Go ahead, drop a question. We got the answer. So just go ahead and follow us at the Fantasy 40. Remember, you can like, rate, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts for us. That'll get us up list, get us more listens. But we're on every platform, just in case you're not an Apple user. At all, the Spotify. Did you get us in the Pandora here shortly, Walk?
I did, and we are now on Linktree, so our links will be a lot smoother moving forward as well, where we'll be able to just to send out a single link to every one of the various platforms for your listening pleasure. I'll be getting on that this week, so it'll be a cleaner looking tweet going out in the future as well.
Look at these three middle-aged men figuring out technology in the world. We should be proud of ourselves. But we'll shut it down there. Hope you enjoyed the episode. Remember to keep your eyes peeled for this week five preview. It'll be out probably Thursday morning. It'll give you enough time to analyze what we say and then take it and use it yourself. So we'll end there. For myself, Andrew Burke, Matt Walker, see John tomorrow. We're the Fantasy 40, and we are out.
Miss you, John. Woo!